us for thy mansions. Banish our weakness, health and wholeness ascending. Bring us to heaven, where thy saints united joy without end.
Follow the order of divine service 3 that's printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner,
confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity,
who heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the pit,
who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy,
who satisfies you with good,
so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness
and justice for all who are oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses,
his acts to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
He will not always chide,
nor will he keep his anger forever.
He does not deal with us according to our sins,
nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth,
so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west,
so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy
to God on high.
And honor the peace, good will toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the upon us, for thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, hear the devout prayers of your church, especially in times of persecution, and grant that what we ask in faith we may obtain. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. One of the themes you see in all three readings, and actually in the psalm as well this morning, and is in the sermon, we'll think about it, is judgment and forgiveness. And they deal with different areas of judgment or different parts of life about this. But we see this theme, judgment and forgiveness, in all three of these readings. Our Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 50, beginning at verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in the honor of the Lord, and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the living, of the dead, and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us will give account, an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
To help us get the incredible distinction Jesus makes of the sin of the sins. A talent, he mentions a talent here. He owes a talent, or 10,000 talents. A talent was worth 130 pounds of gold, and it was worth 20 years. In Jesus' day, a talent was worth 20 years of work, and he says 10,000 talents. Is 200,000 years of work is the amount that Jesus says that is forgiven the one man. And then a denarius is worth one day of work. And so 100 denarii, as it's mentioned here, is 100 days of work versus 200,000 years of work. We read. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
O God of mercy, God of might, in love and pity infinite, teach us as ever in thy sight to live our lives in thee. And thou who camest on earth to die, that our lost world might to live thereby. Oh, hear us, for to thee we cry, in hope, O Lord, to thee. Teach us the lesson thou hast taught, to feel for those thy blood hath bought, that every word and deed may work a work for thee. All are redeemed both far and wide, since thou, O Lord, for all hast died. Grant us the will and grace provide to love them all in thee. In sickness, sorrow, want, or care, may we each other's burdens share. May we, where help is needed there, give help as unto thee. And may thy Holy Spirit move all those who live to live in love, till thou shalt greet in heaven above all those who live in thee.
The sermon this morning is going to reflect on
several parts of the readings, and also we're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. To start, I reread those first couple verses from the gospel reading. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I will forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen." As I mentioned before I started the readings, there is this theme of judgment and forgiveness in each of these readings. And I decided that to talk even a little bit more broadly outside these readings, but it includes them, and to think about judgment and forgiveness. There is oftentimes, and perhaps it's getting more and more, perhaps it's always been like this, I don't know. But it is very frequent in our culture and society, says, "You can't judge me. Oh, I can't judge you. Oh, we have to just accept whatever is, and you can decide whatever you want to do." And that kind of understanding is a mistake. If that kind of understanding means like there's no false teachings and there's no disobedience, there's no sin, there's no punishment of hell, if it's like you can do whatever you want, there's no judgment, you can't tell me anything, then that is a huge mistake. The fan is safe. Do whatever you want. Put your finger in while it's running. Do whatever you want. You see? There is conscience, God's law, God's way of living that is right and good, that he wants all people to know. God had teaching for Adam and Eve. They were holy, no sin, no death. Did God really say you should not eat of the tree, of the fruit? Eat that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, God said, yeah, we can't eat it, we can't even touch it, lest we die. No, 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 no. That's too narrow. You ought to be able to do something else, though, God. You will not die. You will eat of it, and you will be wise. Right then and there, God wanted Adam and Eve to judge whether his word was good for them or not, whether he is to be believed or not. And Satan right there wanted them to not believe God and not follow his word. That is the way of Satan. The dying world says, "Oh, you don't have to judge me. You can't judge me. You shouldn't judge me." And Jesus calls it, God calls it a dying world because it's dying in sin. And he wants to save the world. What did Jesus do on the cross? Did he die for nothing because there's no sin and no disobedience or no reason to need God's forgiveness? He died because of the multitude of sins. The way of love is to use God's teachings to measure both ourselves and others, to apply it to all. Now, this idea that you should not allowed to judge anybody oftentimes is taken from just one verse from chapter 7 in Matthew. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus did not say, do not help your brother, just let him be. Let him sit with that speck in his eye forever. He did not say that. He said, look, you yourselves have a huge impediment. You have a huge problem yourself. You have a log in your own eye. As he said in the parable that we heard, you have 200,000 years of work that you owe to the master. First, that has to be taken care of. First, the log has to be taken out of your eye. First, that 200,000 years of work has to be forgiven. Then you can help your brother with a small thing. As to you, a small thing. Then you can help. And I'll refer to it again, but Jesus said the measure that you use is a measure that will be used for you. That's really a critical thing for us to think about, Jesus' teaching. I want to know Jesus' teaching and everything that he says, and I want others to tell me that, and I also want to tell others that. I don't want them sticking their fingers in the fan. What's the truth about life and death and forgiveness? In that same Sermon on the Mount, just a few verses later in Matthew 7, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. We are called to discern, to judge, to be aware of false prophets, of false miracles, of false teaching. Jesus doesn't want us to be captured and led astray away from him. In fact, if you remember 2 weeks ago, the gospel reading, remember what Jesus warned about those who would lead the little ones away from him? He says it would be better if a millstone were tied around your neck and your feet thrown into the sea. The wrath of God is against people who would lead people away from Christ. We're supposed to recognize that and learn that and be aware of that and stay away from that. What did Peter try to do? You being used by Satan? Oh, Lord, no, 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 you'll never die. Don't say you're going to die. This should never happen to you. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. For you have in mind the things of God. Have in mind the things of men, not the things of God. So, just to say you can never judge is not the scriptural teaching. We are to discern. We are to tell the truth to one another. We are to warn one another and take care of each other. And I think this is a really key thing for us to think. As the children and I talked about the fan, we're taking care of each other. Even I was getting some advice of what would happen if my finger got stuck in there. He said, you have to take it apart and whatnot. We're helping each other. And that's what God wants us to do in our spiritual lives, is to help one another, to warn each other, to advise one another. It was always interesting to me in the Kinkomba language, where we were in Ghana for 5 years, the word warn and advise is the same word. I advise you, I warn you. It was the same word in Kinkomba. The true measure that God wants us to use is his measure, God's measure. That's law and gospel. All people are sinners, and all people are offered forgiveness in Christ. Paul says it very clearly in Romans 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. As we may warn, advise somebody about their life, we realize that they have a speck in their eye, but we realize that my life itself, even as a Christian, cannot stand on its own. I stand in Christ. I stand in his forgiveness. My goodness isn't because I'm good, but anything I do that is helpful to others or is recognized by God is Christ's righteousness, his working in me because of his power and the Holy Spirit living in me. So when I can advise and help somebody else out and say, brother, sister, this life you're living this way is not good. And the person may come back and say, what are you telling me? Who are you to tell me anything? You can't judge me. I know I also am a sinner. But God warns us all that this way is not right. This way is not good. This way, if you don't have the forgiveness of Christ, it's going to lead you to hell. We're warning, we're advising what God has given and taught to all of us and offers all of us in Christ. One of the churches that confess their sins before, at the beginning of the church service, like we do, not every service, but most of our services, we realize that since we've been in church last time, we've had many sins every day. Maybe even that morning before we came to church. Maybe even if we're sitting in church waiting for service to start. We realize that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And I can't stay. I'm not here in church because I'm so good. I'm here because I need Christ. I need his law and I need his gospel. And so we say, I'm a sinner. God, take the log out of my eye. Help me to understand your word. Help me to understand what's going on in my life. Our sin, a Christian's sin, is no less. Our life is sinful. We need Christ as much as anybody needs Christ. But all people need Christ. All people need to know that they stand sinful before God. And maybe it's something specific that they have to deal with. They stand sinful before God, and they need Christ's forgiveness. Romans 5, verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We did nothing to say, oh, that's a good person. I think I'll die for you. Nothing like that. But rather, in our sin, Christ died for us. There was a comment in Bible class this morning about the fact that God converts. We don't decide for Jesus, but God converts us. God creates a will in us to believe in him. It's a gift. It's not a decision we do, it's a decision he does. And it came to mind, I hadn't thought about this in that context, but it came to mind for me to comment. Do you know, and we've read it in church, in Bible class, John chapter 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer. That's its kind of little name that we give it. But Jesus prays for his disciples, that God would keep them safe. And God would keep their faith. And then he also says, and I think it's verse 20 and 21, he says, and I pray not only for these, but also those who will believe in their words, through their words, about me, that you, Father, and I are one, and that they may be one. And in those words, Jesus was praying for us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was praying for us. To be converted, to believe, to live together as Christians, to go to heaven. He was praying for us. As we confront sin in our own life, as we confront sin around us in other people's lives, this is really important for us to remember. Jesus prayed for me that I might believe. He's prayed for this person that this person might believe, and that by believing in his name, we might be saved and saved together. We look to Christ to take that log out of our eye, to actually help our brother. A whole nother sermon is the reading from Romans chapter 14, which was for today. But just this briefly, Paul is talking to fellow Christians, and he is telling them, look, you all are in Christ. Some of you are eating only vegetables, and some of you are eating meat. Specifically, he says that. You should not judge one another. If one does it to the honor of the Lord, and the other does it to the honor of the Lord, we are the Lord's, and we recognize we are the Lord's. What God wants us to do is to help one another in the faith, in Christian life, to pray for one another, to warn one another, to advise one another. He doesn't want us to stand back and say, I won't judge you and you won't judge me. No, that's the world's way. And even Satan's way. Rather, he wants us involved, helping, praying for each other, at least. And why do I say that? At least praying for one another. Please help me with this situation. Please help me to know what to say. And God, make me humble in this. Not proud, but humble, because I'm really worried about that person. God wants us to take care of each other with his law and with his gospel, that he will save and our lives continue now and into eternity forever. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your word, words of law, words of gospel, words which guide and advise, and words which forgive. Help us, dear Father, to believe these words from you. Help us also to apply them in our lives. May your Holy Spirit give us wisdom and strength to speak your law, to speak your gospel, to know how to comfort and encourage, to know how to guide. And always, Lord, continue to remove the logs from our own eyes. Help us to see our sin, confess, and receive your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We stand and sing the offertory.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church as printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For freedom from grudges and an unforgiving spirit, that we may not be kept from God's forgiveness through our lack of mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For patience in trials, that, like Joseph in Egypt, we too might learn to be slow to judge, quick to forgive, and steadfast in love for God and for one another, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
in thanksgiving for the Holy Word and sacraments, that they may be preserved among us for faithful stewards of God's mysteries, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in Christ's name, and for all the baptized, that they would be faithful confessors of the hope that is in them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the homes of God's people, that he would keep them from all harm and danger, and that we may dwell together in peace under the protection of his holy angels. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all nations and leaders, that life and liberty might be defended, and that rulers and nations might strive toward all that is honorable, true, and just. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For safety and wisdom for all law enforcement, firefighting, emergency, and medical workers, for courage and endurance for all military, for success in all vocations and for favorable weather, for godly learning and teaching for all students and educational institutions, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For victims and emergency workers of natural disasters, including fires, storms, and earthquakes, that resources might be available and comfort sought from the Maker of all good things, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and infirm, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Sue, and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, Carl, Denny, Carlos, Phyllis, and Pastor Johnson, that they may have patience to endure their time of suffering, and that their days may be crowned with God's mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For gratitude as we receive Christ's body and blood, that having been forgiven a debt that only Christ could pay, we in turn may go out to serve others in the same spirit of forgiveness, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, being obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth. Hosanna in the highest.
pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace.
Given for me, for me and
Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ, which is given for you.
O living bread from heaven.
Take and eat the very body of Christ given for you.
How will you feed your guest
the gifts
that you
have
given? Have filled my heart with rest. O wondrous food.
This true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart.
Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for a closing hymn, number 700.
Lord.